All right, good morning. It's good to see everyone. It's almost axiomatic that a basic tenet of the American legal system is that a person is always entitled to be represented by an attorney. But as we'll see, in the eyes of halacha, that's not necessarily the case. The pasuk tells us in this coming week's parasha that if two people were going to be involved in a monetary dispute, ad ho Elohim yavod dvar shneihem, that each one should present their argument before the Elohim, which in this context refers to the judges. So the Mechilta comments on that pasuk, ad ho Elohim yavod dvar shneihem, shlo yamid etzlo sani goyrin, that a person should not appoint a defense attorney. So the Torah Tamima takes the opportunity on that pasuk to rail against attorneys in general, because he claims they are unscrupulous individuals who won't hesitate to perpetrate a lie in order to prevail in court, which I don't think is so far from the reality that we experience as well. So the Torah Tamima claims that it's a violation of this comment of the Mechilta. However, the comment of the Mechilta, as the Torah Tamima admits, does not appear elsewhere throughout the Shas, and does not appear as well in the Shulchan Aruch. So in terms of an authoritative source for prohibiting attorneys, it's not really going to be enough with this Mechilta. But there are other sources, as we'll see, that might, which the Torah Tamima himself marshals, which might perhaps preclude the presence of an attorney in Beis Din. The Torah Tamima was concerned, as the Mechilta finds itself on the pasuk as well, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, that one has to distance himself from lying in general, of course, but particularly in the setting of a Beis Din, when there's money at stake, one has to distance himself from a lie, and attorneys won't hesitate to lie, and therefore it's a problem not only of Adho Elohim Yavod Dvar Shneihem, that each person should present their argument directly to the judge, but also the presence of an attorney might lead to a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. But again, the Mechilta doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, it's not echoed elsewhere in Talmud Bavli, so as an authoritative source, it's really not going to be enough. But the Gemara does tell us in Masechtas Makos over here, Ois Gimel, commenting on the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, in connection with criminal punishment, Al Pi Shnayim Edim, O Shlosha Edim, Yumas Hameis, Lo Yumas Al Pi Eid Echad. So the Gemara comments, Al Pi Shnayim Edim, Shlo Tehei Sanhedrin Shomas Mi Pia HaTurgamon, that the Beis Din, the judges, should hear testimony directly from the witnesses and not through an interpreter. So the Gemara continues, Hani lo azi dosel kamei de Rava. There was once two parties who came before Rava who only spoke laz. They didn't speak the language of Rava or whatever was spoken in that part of the world. So uki Rava turgaman badayu. So Rava appointed an interpreter. So you see, hechi avet hachi. We already said, derived from the pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, Pishnayim Edim, that they have to hear it directly from the witnesses. You're not supposed to have an interpreter. So Gemara says, Rava Meida hu have yoda, mada have amri. He understood the language. You know, oftentimes people can understand Yiddish, understand Hebrew, or understand French, but they can't necessarily respond or speak the language themselves. So Rava understood what they were saying. Vadure hu dulo have yoda. He didn't know how to respond. So, but he understood what they were saying. So since he understood they were saying, that was enough to satisfy Al Pi Shnayim Edim, even though he wasn't able to respond, and for that is what he appointed an interpreter. What is the problem with an interpreter? So the Nemukah Yosef and that Gemara suggests, because Shema Yachlif HaTurgaman B'Loshana Edus. First of all, you know, the Meturgaman is going to use synonyms or other language in order to convey what the Edim are saying, and it's perhaps we'll lose something in translation. V'od, he says, because they can be cross-examined more easily in the language that they're speaking. If it has to be interpreted, and then you have to go through an interpreter, it's much harder to cross-examine the witnesses. This, because of this halacha, that one has to hear the testimony of the witnesses directly from the witnesses and not through an interpreter, so the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, when we're choosing Dayanim, we should choose Dayanim who are multilingual, who are able to speak more than one language. And I think that's the reality in Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Dayanim are certainly fluent in English, but in Yiddish and Hebrew, but perhaps even Russian and other languages which are common in Eretz Yisrael today. And that's what the Gemara says is really the ideal situation, that when you're appointing Dayanim, so it shouldn't be. It should be people of stature who cannot be easily intimidated, Bali Koma, Bali Chachma, Bali Mara, Bali Zikna, Bali Kshafim. They have to know magic as well in order to adjudicate certain cases properly. But also, V'yoydim B'shivim Loshen, they have to know all languages. Shalot Hei Sanhedri, Shomas Mi Piyam Meturgman. In order so that they should not require an interpreter. So what's the, again, what's the concern with having an interpreter there? So the Maharsha echoes the Nemuka Yosef that we had earlier. He says, "V'tama inyan," in order so that something should not be lost in translation, because something will get lost. And in order to make sure that the testimony is conveyed in its fullest sense, we should make sure that the Dayanim are able to speak the language of the Yedim. Rashi there gives a different interpretation in Masechta Sanhedrin. He says, because otherwise it will be hearsay. Normally hearsay, aid me p aid, is if I have one person heard somebody else say something outside of court, and then they testify that so-and-so said something outside of court, and they're repeating it, reiterating it in court. So our only source of the information is something that you heard someone else say. But that initial statement was outside of court. Rashi claims even if the first witness is in court, he's sitting right next to the interpreter. But the Beis Din cannot hear it, cannot understand it from the aid. It's only because there's an interpreter who's there. So that's considered to be like a form of hearsay. That's aid mi pi aid, and therefore it's not valid. However, this Gemara, the pasuk that was quoted, is really discussing edus, testimony. And in fact, Rashi highlights that when he says the real problem is not even that you'll be misunderstood or a lack of ability to cross-examine, but it's because of hearsay, of aid mi pi aid. The Rambam, though, in Perek Chaf Alef of Hilchos Sanhedrin Lo Cheches, over here, always, hey, extends this as well to the litigants, to the parties, not only to the Yedim. Lo Yehei Adayin Shomei Mipiyah Meturgaman, Elim Kein Hayamakir Loshon Balei Dinin, V'Shomei Atanoseim. That the Dayin should not have an interpreter there, rather it should be able to understand the arguments of the two parties as well, and not through only an interpreter. He says, if I can understand them speak, but he can't respond, okay, that was Rabbah's precedent, then an interpreter can be appointed. But he really has to be able to at least understand the testimony the first time. So the Rambam extended this halacha not only mipihem, but only mipimeturgaman, not only to Edom, which is what the Pasuk is really discussing, the Rambam extended that to the litigants as well. This machlokas, between what seems to be Rashi and the Rambam, is mipihem, al pi shnayim edim, mipihem, we have to hear it from them, and that, as opposed to an interpreter, might be manifest itself as well in another sif in Shulchan Aruch, and that in Chayshim Mishpat, over here, oizvav, with regards to a different halacha. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he quotes in the name of the Rivash, that when people are submitting their claims, the parties, they have to submit it orally, cannot submit a written statement of your claim. It says, you have to hear it from their mouth. Why should you have to hear it orally? It's the Rivash says, because mipihem v'lo mipiksavam. The Gemara has a rule in Masechtas Gittin that when, and Ksubis and elsewhere, when Edim are submitting their testimony, it cannot be done in the form of an affidavit. Affidavits are not valid in a Beis Din. It has to be oral testimony. The one exception to this, of course, is a shtar, is a document that's written by a person who obligates himself in something, and then witnesses sign at the bottom. Shtar is an exception to the rule of mipihem v'lo mipiksavam. When you have a document of sale, or shtar kiddushin, a shtar gittin, those are exceptions to the rule, but the general rule is testimony has to be submitted orally. We don't accept an affidavit in court. Mipihem, because it has to be from their mouth, v'lo mipiksavam, not from their written word. So the Rivash says the same is true with regards to the litigants submitting their claims. It has to be mipihem. It has to be submitted orally. The Ramah there, quotes on the Mukhe Yosef and Baba Basra, disagrees. Mihu, in Beis Baal Edinim, Roitz and Litam B'Ksav, he says as long as they both, it's protocol of Beis, of course, to submit oral claims. But if they'll both agree to submit written claims, Harashus B'Yodan, they can make such an arrangement. And once they submit a written claim, they can't retract. Has the status of testimony, in a certain sense. So the Ramah is happy to accept this as long as it's mutual, as long as it's both parties agree to it. So it seems to be that the Ramah is following the path of Rashi, that mipihem v'lo mipiksavam doesn't apply to litigants, it applies to the witnesses. Witnesses, even if we both agree, cannot submit affidavits. Affidavits are not acceptable in court. Has to be submitted orally, testimony, but the arguments of the litigants perhaps can, their claims can be submitted written statements if that's what's agreed to by the parties. So that seems to be this same machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, is mipihem v'lo mipiksavam, mipihem v'lo mipimeturgaman, is that only with regards to the witnesses, or even with regards to the litigants. Just like the Shulchan Aruch said, you should not accept written claims, so Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, mipihem v'lo mipiksavam, it shouldn't be a written claim, it should be an oral claim, so the Shulchan Aruch also quotes the Rambam, that not only can witnesses not submit their testimony through an interpreter, but Baledinim also have to submit their claims. The Dayanim have to hear it directly from them. It cannot be through an interpreter. So Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Oisches, Simin Yuzayin, Sivav, Lo Yehei Hadayin, Shomea, Mipi, HaMeturgamon. He should not hear not only testimony, but the claims of the parties as well. If he doesn't know, he knows how to understand, but he doesn't know how to respond, then we already have the precedent of Rava that that an interpreter can be appointed. But otherwise, the Shulchan Aruch understood, Mipihem, Velo Mipi Maturgaman, is not only by Aden, but is with regards to the litigants as well. However, this makes life quite difficult if you're dealing with people who don't speak the language of the Dayanim. So the Pisrei Tshuva quotes from the Radvaz and from the Bach. If you look at the Rambam earlier in Oy Zayin, when the Rambam is bringing this halacha, not with regards to the procedures of Bezin, but who's ideal candidate to be a Dayan. So we said the ideal candidate to be a Dayan should be multilingual. So you should be able to understand the witnesses and the litigants in their vernacular. So the Rambam says over here, Perek Beis Chok Sanhedrin Lachavav, that V'tzarech lehishtadel, we have to do our best. They should be men of stature. So they shouldn't have to hear it from a translator. So the Rambam here says, V'tzarech lehishtadel. Tzarech lehishtadel implies like we should do our best. But if we don't have a guy here who speaks, some ridiculous language, spoke somewhere in the world, and it happens to be, appears before Dintairo, before us, who are we going to have that speaks that language? So we're going to have to get an interpreter. So it sounds like, okay, in that situation, it's all right. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. He says, Tzarech lehishtadel, we should do our best that they should have multilingual dayanim. But if it's not possible, it's not possible. So the Pisrei Tshuva here in Oisches quotes from the Radvaz, who was medayik like that in the language of the Rambam, that this halacha mipi hem velo mipi maturgaman is really by witnesses. By witnesses, you cannot have an interpreter. The Bezin has to hear it from the witnesses. Otherwise, something's lost in translation. They can't cross-examine the witness. But the Balei Dinim, that's not what the Pusik is talking about. The Pusik is really talking about witnesses. The Balei Dinim was an extension of the Rambam. The Rambam didn't mean to take it that far. He meant to say, the Chachila, they should be able to hear it from the Balei Dinim themselves. But if it's not possible, it's not possible, as we saw from Rava already. Rava appointed an interpreter when able to understand, but he wasn't able to respond. So you see, it would be best if he would be able to respond as well in their language. But we see when we're dealing with the litigants that there is some wiggle room. It's best if you should be able to not only understand and respond, but Rava already said if you couldn't respond, an interpreter could be appointed. So Sotu says the Radvaz, that and the Bach as well, that if we can't understand the Balei Dinim, so then we can appoint an interpreter. The Bach makes the additional point that even if the Pasuk is referring not only to the witnesses, but the Balei Dinim, that Pasuk is with regards to capital punishment. Al Pishnayim Edom Oshlosha Edom Yumas Hameis. So then to make two jumps, not only from the witnesses to the litigants, but from Dine Nefashos to Dine Mamonos, that seems like a lot. So therefore, the Pisrei Tshuva is of the opinion, if it's just not possible to find Dayanim who speak that language, then an interpreter could be appointed. The Chazon Ish is not having any of it. If you look over here, Ois Tes, Chazon Ish quotes this, two lines of Ois Tes. He says, the Pisrei Tshuva, Kazu B'Shem Abach, V'arad Vaz, the Shmiya Mipiya Maturgaman, Eino El Midrabanan, Ubamakum Delo Efshe Lo Gazru. It's a din midrabanan, it's an extension of the real din, and when it's not possible, they never made a gzera. He says, V'lo Mashme Klein Klau Mistima Segmar V'Apoiskin. Chazon Ish rejects this entirely. No, you cannot have any interpreter at all. So what do we? This halacha extent is applies to Edom, applies to Balei Dinim, and you have to. You don't necessarily have to respond in that language, but you have to at least be able to understand the language of the witnesses and the Balei Dinim. Otherwise, stuff gets lost in translation. So what do we do if a guy appears before a Beis Din, he pashut doesn't speak the language, and we don't have any Dayan who speaks his language? So the Sma over here, Ois Tes, suggests that at least if both parties agree to use an interpreter, so then it can be allowed. Because if you look back at the Sifin Shulchan Aruch, where this appears, that you're not allowed to have an interpreter. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Ois Ches, quote, the Ramah writes, I'm sorry, in the middle of the second line, Ayin la'el simin yud gimel sif gimel. Oftentimes the Ramah is just Mari Makaymus as significant. The Ramah is telling us, look earlier what I wrote about submitting written claims. The Ramah said, really, of course, you're not supposed to submit written claims, you're supposed to be submitted orally, but if both parties agree, then it can be allowed. Written testimony can never be allowed, even if both parties agree. Written claims can be allowed, as long as both parties agree. So the Sma claims, what the Ramah here is telling us, is just like I said over there, written claims can be submitted if both parties agree. An interpreter can also be allowed if both parties agree. So the Sma claims over here as well. Now look over here. Ois tes umashu bezman hazeh noagim lodum loazim. In the middle, the end of the second line. Now that which nowadays the practice is that we have sometimes other people speaking on behalf of the parties. The assumption is because as long as both parties agree to it, haynu b'nei shekol shebo lodum ufnei dayanim kavuin havalei kikiblu aleihem lodun kein. It's as if they have accepted this as the protocol of the Beis Din, and therefore, even if someone else is presenting their claim on their behalf, since both parties have agreed to it, it's okay. Once both parties have accepted to operate in this fashion, it's acceptable. However, the Chazon Ish makes the important point, look back at his test, the other side of the page, he says, the second paragraph, he says, we allow people to have someone else submit their claim, an interpreter. He says, but that's because both parties agree to it. He says, you have to ask them, do they agree? It's not enough to assume they agree. If people show up in Beis Din, there's an interpreter there, we have to tell them, the Beis Din should, I don't know if it's always done, but the Beis Din should, says the Chazon Ish, it shouldn't be assumed that that's the way we operate now, and everybody who comes into Beis Din understands that. No, they have Beis Din, says the Chazon Ish, has to ask them and let them know you have the right to reject an interpreter, to hear the claims from the other party directly, and only only use an interpreter if you so agree, because otherwise he's not Michael. It can be Michael, but you have to know that you have the option not to be Michael in order to be Michael. No, because it's for the other party's benefit. But if I agree,
is it monetary rights?
Yeah, of course, we're dealing with monetary issues. Yeah. So you have the right to, of course, to forego your right to hear the claim from the other party directly. We're going to see why you want to hear the claim from the other party directly is to your benefit. So if you're willing to be mindful on that, so then it could be allowed. The Chazon Ish says, if one is going to use an interpreter, he should do so in the following fashion. Look over here, the Ramah says, in Darkei Moshe, back at Ois Yura, the last line of the first page, he says that a Meturgamon is very different than an attorney who presents your claim, than a Mursha, a power of an attorney. He says a Meturgamon typically, he says, is worse than an attorney in a certain sense. We'll get that an attorney is worse than an interpreter in another sense, but the interpreter in a certain sense is worse than the attorney. He says, V'linir, the Meturgamon, a Mursha, Shnei Dvarim, Haim, they're two separate things, an attorney and a Meturgamon. The Meturgamon, Hanusha Bali Dover, he says, that's when the Bali Dover are there, and you have someone translating their claim. But an attorney, usually, typically, the party is not there. We'll get to that in a second. So the Chazon Ish explains, so the Ramah says, in a certain sense, the Meturgamon is worse than the Mursha. So the Chazon Ish explains, why should that be the case? Why should an interpreter be worse than an attorney? So he says over here, Ois tes, v'nira dehad Meturgamon gar mishaliach, mishum she'en adayin shomea kol atainas b'bas achas. Typically, an attorney works, you know, like while someone else is speaking, you know, he pauses every phrase and the interpreter interrupts and translates. Then the guy goes back to speaking, the interpreter interrupts and translates. So it's choppy. Every statement is truncated. So it says the Chazon Ish, it's very hard for the Dayanim to process or certainly to respond to claims when everything is constantly being interrupted. So, you know, they're just struggling to understand. So the Chazon Ish, as opposed to an attorney, if he's going to present the claim on behalf of his client, so then he'll present the entire claim, you know, continuously, without interruption. So the Chazon Ish claims that that's preferable. So if one is going to use an interpreter, someone else is going to present the claim on behalf of the party, it should be presented seamlessly, meaning that the party should express his claim to the interpreter, finish what he's saying, and allow the interpreter, although it's not ideal because he's going to have to paraphrase and, you know, interpret and whatever. But if both parties agree, it can be allowed, but he should present his claim in its entirety. Shouldn't be constantly interrupting. There's no way to conduct it in terror.
The whole point, the purpose of the lawyer is to enhance your case. The Meturgamon is because you're...
We'll have to see if that's purpose of an attorney in American court, yeah.
Uh-huh. But the Meturgamon is because the Dayan doesn't understand that it's a plan D.
Correct. But it shouldn't be choppy. It should be someone's going to present your claim, you're not able to present it on your own, but it should be presented, you know, seamless. It shouldn't be choppy.
But the attorney at least is in the language that the Baldin could understand. If he doesn't like what he's saying, he could interject. talk to him and he's not sure what he's saying.
Right. It's not ideal. It's not ideal for anybody.
No, that's why when I talk to him it's worse because I don't know, we know what he's saying.
Ah.
As an attorney, I could hear what he's saying and I could say, no, that's not what I meant. I
right.
But with Jorgman, there's no way for the ball didn't seem to even know what he's
right.
saying.
Yeah, it's really not ideal. Yeah. He might be misrepresenting the whole claim.
Okay, right.
Right. You're at the mercy of this interpreter. Yeah, we have to assume the interpreter is reliable in his interpretation. Okay, so in a certain sense, the interpreter is better than is worse than the attorney because the attorney will present a claim in its entirety. If one is going to use an interpreter, it should present it in its entirety. But we said an interpreter really should not be, you know, it's not ideal. It should be PM, Vilomi Pima Torgamon. It should really be able to hear the arguments, the claims of the Baal Edinim themselves, just like testimony. But if both parties agree, then we said it can be allowed. But in a certain sense, we said, so an attorney is a little bit better than a Torgamon who's constantly interrupting his client. But in another sense, the attorney is much worse than the Mitorgamon. Because the Mitorgamon, hopefully, is just presenting the claims of the party. An attorney is usually there to embellish the claims of the, or to enhance the arguments of the party. So the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Avos that Yehuda ben Tabai, Omer al tas atzmecha ka'orcha dayonim, a person should not make himself like an attorney. Not only should you not be an attorney, now make yourself like an attorney, ka'orcha dayonim. What does that mean? So the Rambam says, "Ritzono lomar sheyilmod echem mibali adin taina shetoileu." You should not supposed to educate them or train them in arguments that will serve their benefit in court. V'yomelo emor kach or hakech boi finzer or argue this way or that way. Even if he knows, says the Rambam, that his party is correct, afil yodei shehu alshuk, he knows he's getting swindled. You're not supposed to teach people how to make their arguments in court. V'shabaldino toin lo b'sheker. He knows the other guy is lying. Lefi achrei asfar, based on, you know, his interpretation of events. Ein mutilo lilmo tainu shetagayu b'shumponim. You're not allowed to educate him how to submit a better claim. The Bar Tanura says the same thing as the Rambam, but perhaps with a slight difference. The Bar Tanura says, ka'oizim ha'noshim sh'archim esadim t'noseim ba'u edin lefnei adayonim. He says, like people who arrange the arguments on behalf of their clients in court. You're not supposed to educate them as far as the halacha is concerned, not only to teach him how to present his case in court, but even to tell him what the halacha is so he'll know how to present his case in court is also included. Do this so you'll be successful in court. You're not allowed to do that, or even just to tell him the halacha so he'll know how to better present his case in court. Even though you know that he's correct.
Isn't that law school? Isn't that what they're teaching in law school?
Yeah, but I said I know it's culturally different than us, but that we are that might not be acceptable in the eyes of a law court. Certainly, viewed positively.
So
what
defines a lawyer?
Let's flesh out the topic, and then if there's still areas of unclarity, you'll ask. So the Taisus Yonder points out from the Bar Tanura, it sounds like the Bar Tanura says velomalo aseka, take steps to assure that you'll be successful in court. But Taisus Yontif says the Bar Tanura never discusses just plain giving advice. I mean, I tell you, make this argument or that argument, maybe the Bar Tanura wouldn't have a problem with that. He agrees that the Rambam never mentioned about, you know, taking steps or actions to make sure you'll be successful in court, but the Bar Tanura seems to stress, lo malo aseikach, take certain actions to make sure you'll be successful. Sounds like that's the problem. But just to make an argument, perhaps would not be a problem for the Bar Tanura. That's the diuk of the Taisus Yontif. This is expressed, though, this Mishnah Masechtas Avos is found in the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas with regards to a very interesting case. The Gemara says that an almana is supposed to be supported by the estate of her late husband until she petitions to be paid the Ksuba. If she'll petition to receive the value of the Ksuba, she's no longer supported by the estate, but until she does so, she's supported by the estate. But that's only basic support. So her living expenses, that's part of what she's entitled to from the estate. But if there's a lump sum payment, a one-time payment, you know, let's say she needs, ongoing medical care, you know, standard health insurance. So that she's entitled to from the estate of her late husband until she petitions to be paid out by the ksuba. And that money cannot be, that expense cannot be deducted from the value of the ksuba. That the estate is required to support her. Let's say, though, it's a one-time payment. She needs a one-time procedure. It's not ongoing medical care, which could be categorized as support. It's a one-time medical procedure that she needs. That's not ongoing. That she's not entitled to from the estate, and if they do pay for it, it will be deducted from the sum that she's entitled to in the ksuba. That's the halacha. So the Gemara is discussing Masechtas Ksubas the following case. Krever the Rabbi Yochanan, the certain relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, Havala Issa Abba, they had a certain widow that had a lien on their estate, meaning because she was a widow of one of their relatives. They have a tzrikha refuah kol yoma, and she needed ongoing medical care. So she's entitled to from the estate. So also came the Rabbi Yochanan, they came before Rabbi Yochanan, and they said, look, this is a great expense. So Amalahu ezilu kotzu le'midi l'roife. He gave them an idea. Go to a doctor, pay him a lump sum payment. I guess you get an actuary, figure out how long she'll live, and make a lump sum payment that will take care of, you know, foreseeable future of this medical, of her medical care. Now it's a one-time lump sum payment. Now she's not entitled to from the estate, and the value of that will be deducted from the sum that she's entitled to in the ksuba. So that's what they did to this poor almana. So Amar B'yachanan Asino Atzmeni Karcha Dayanim. Afterwards, he had Charota that he gave them this advice to make a lump sum payment as opposed to ongoing support, because he said, I made myself into a lawyer. That's exactly what the Mishnah Maseches Avos encourages us not to do. Atas Atzmecha Karcha Dayanim. So this was free legal advice. Again, he wasn't being paid over here, you know, to offer this advice. And it was even on behalf of one of his relatives. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan regretted that he gave them this advice. This is a violation of Asinu Atzmecha Ka'orcha Dayanim. Even though he just advised them of the halacha, that if you make a one-time payment, you will, you know, be able to deduct from the sum of the ksuba. It's still, he wasn't telling them anything's inappropriate. He wasn't telling them to lie. Operating in that fashion is frowned upon by the Mishnah Maseches Avos, Atas Atzmecha Ka'orcha Dayanim. So therefore, the Ramah writes over here in Chayshu Mishbat, Sim Yudzayin Sif Hei, that if a Talmud Chacham is asked about a monetary dispute, he's not supposed to respond. You're not supposed to say, look, if you have a dispute with somebody else, go before a dentaira. You're not even allowed to advise people what the halacha is. Because by advising them what the halacha is, so they might learn from your explanation how to best formulate their arguments to be successful in court, and they'll learn how to lie to be successful. Once we know what the court is looking for, it's easier to lie. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, "Lo yichlev shum chacham psak le'echem ibali dinim b'derech im kain," meaning say, well, if this is the case, that's the halacha. If this is the case, that's the halacha. You're not supposed to do that. Oh, she yichlev lo da to believe psak. Or even just to tell him your chavis dats without a psak, unless he's going to sit before the entire and hear both parties. They might come to learn how to lie. He emphasizes ksiva, but it would even be orally to communicate what the halacha is. He's afraid of looking like, you know, whatever, his other concerns also. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's an important caveat. He says, let's say people are coming because they don't want to go to a dentaira. A guy with pasha wants to know what's the right thing here to do. Oftentimes people ask, they want to know. They want to avoid going to a basin. So they want to know what's the right thing to do. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you're trying to prevent people from going to basin, then a person can respond. Or let's say a person's going to break a contract and he doesn't know he's not allowed to break a contract. You're allowed to tell him, Rabid, you cannot break this contract. You have to, you know, you have to stick to that. Or if the machlokes is only going to fester further, if you don't advise the parties what the halacha is, then say, you know, it'll go to Bezin. Once it goes to Bezin, Hasmonis, and then there's Zablos, and then this Bezin and that Bezin. Before you know it, you have a community catastrophe on your hands. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, if it's in order to prevent machlaikas, then it can be Ogad, or Bukai just Pasha wants to know what to do. So the Acharim, you know, he has no intention of going to Bezin. He wants to know what the right thing is to do. So then one can advise them as to what the halacha is. But if there's any sense that this might actually end up in Bezin, you're not supposed, the Talmud Chacham is not supposed, and therefore one should not ask either. Now, what is the halacha, theoretically, in such a case? Because that could encourage people to learn how to formulate their arguments in a way that could, they'll be successful in court, but also might tempt them to lie in order to improve their case. When they believe they're right, people will say, well, I'm lying, but I know I'm right, even though the claim that I'm submitting is a false claim, but I know I'm right, so I'm really not doing anything wrong. That's how people are justified to themselves. So because of that justification, we're afraid of this. This is free legal advice. Altas asmecha ki orchai dayanim. I stick my nose into someone else's business. That I shouldn't act lawyerly. You know, if there is such a word, I shouldn't act like an attorney. But what about to literally be an attorney? Someone gives you a power of attorney to argue their case on their behalf. So the Gemara says over here, Masech Lishvuas, minayin lebaldin shlo yatim dvarav ledain kadim shiyavoy baldin chavero. How do you know that one of the Baalei Dinim is not supposed to have an ex parte discussion, which means he's not supposed to present his case to the judge before the other party arrives? How do you know you're not supposed to do that? Tamalom v'dvar sheker tirchok. Because you're supposed to distance yourself from falsehood. How so? Because if I present, if the other party is there, I have a harder, most people, unless they're pathological liars or sociopaths, would have a hard time lying in front of someone who knows they're lying. It's just a natural human limitation that Baruch Hashem we have. We have a hard time lying when someone knows we're lying. So the Gemara says, Meshach L'Shvuas, therefore you have to wait for the other party to arrive. Because if the other party's not there, it's just me and the judge, I'll have an easier time lying than if the other party's staring me in the face. Fine. So in that context, the Gemara says, Vasher lo tov asa b'sech amav, that's a pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, that you did something that was improper in the midst of my nation, Rav Omar zeh habo barsho. That's a person who comes with power of attorney to present someone else's case. That's also Asher lo tov asa b'soich amav. What's the concern here? The same concern. If a Baal Din has to present his own case, so then he has a harder time lying if there's someone else staring him in the face. But if I don't have to lie, I give it to my attorney. My attorney lies for me. He doesn't even know that I'm lying. He'll have an easy time doing it. So therefore, you're not supposed to give power of attorney to somebody else. You're really supposed to submit your claims on your own. Because Asher lo tov asa b'soich amav, it's easier for people to lie. Same concern of midvar sheker tirchak. Tosfos there writes, though, that's only assuming that you can retrieve your claim, meaning I can't present the arguments myself. Let's say I have a difficult time presenting my arguments. The guy's either just not, articulate, or he's simply unable to make it to the court date. So Tosfos writes, kishoyse b'shvil shu ile mubal ole mubal taino shemisaba riv loy. When is it frowned upon? When I hire representation for me who's stronger than I am and who knows how to present slippery arguments in court and it's nothing to do with him, then you're not supposed to hire an attorney. I'm trying to retrieve money on behalf of my friend. My other friend Pashut will not be able to be successful in court. Either he won't be able to be there or he's simply not articulate. So then one would be able to hire an attorney to present his case on his behalf, if it's not possible in any other way. So that's, though, if I want, yeah?
Why should it matter if he's not articulate? It's the job of the dying to get the truth. I mean, that is going in the other direction. If somebody who is more eloquent and who makes a better appearance, that's being loyally. If the dying can get the truth, it shouldn't matter if one party is a big time of chacham and very...
You're right. It might be the job of the dying also to...
Why should it matter if he's not articulate?
You're 100% right. If the dying will fulfill his responsibility of coaching the litigant to get his argument out in a coherent fashion, you're right, an attorney wouldn't be present. But let's say the guy, let's go back to the more obvious case. We might be afraid the dying won't fulfill his responsibility in that regard, and therefore I want to hire an attorney just because I know, the guy can't get something out straight. But let's say a more simple case, he's not able to be there. He's not able to make the case, so then he's allowed to hire an attorney to represent him. So the Rashba here quotes from the Aruch and Rabbeinu Chananel that this is not only true with regards to the plaintiff, it should be true with regards to the defendant as well. He could also hire representation if he won't be able to represent himself. Let's say he can't make the court date. He's allowed to hire an attorney to be present for him. However, the Rashba quotes from Rav Sadiga in the Tshuva of the Rif that no, this ability to appoint an attorney to represent you is only with regards to the plaintiff, not the defendant. Why? For two reasons. The first is the plaintiff has a monetary claim. A monetary claim is something to be sold in court. People buy lawsuits all the time, hoping that they'll win in court, and they'll make a profit on their investment in buying the lawsuit. So it's a monetary item that can be sold and assigned to an attorney. I can give power an attorney for a legal claim. You can't sell a defense, position to defend yourself. That's not something that can be transferred or assigned to an attorney. But moreover, Rasadi going to the Rif argue that the venue is determined usually by the nitva, by the defendant. That's the venue that's chosen for the din Torah. It's usually not based on the plaintiff. So the plaintiff oftentimes might not be able to make the din Torah because it's not going to be taking place in his vicinity. The nitva should always be able to be there, because it's taking place nearby. So this courtesy of being able to appoint an attorney perhaps only extends to the tovea, to the plaintiff, not to the defendant. Rabbi Chanan actually has a raya to this position from the Gemara Maseches Bava Kamma. The Gemara tells in Bava Kamma over here, Daf Chesem Beis, that if you have Reuven who sells a field to Shimon, Bach Rias, that means that there's a loan already on the field, a lien on the field. And Shimon is concerned that if the property will be seized by the previous loan, that he'll lose his money. So he makes up, which is a logical arrangement, that if the field gets seized, I want my money back. That's the argument. That's the arrangement that they have. So then the creditor comes to take the field, inevitably. So not always, but Shimon, who bought the field, doesn't know this creditor. He doesn't know if the claim is legitimate or not. So he's going to have to argue a case in Basel, which he really is hamstrung. He doesn't know this creditor. He doesn't know. He never investigated. It's not a formal title search. He didn't investigate all liens. In case there's any lien, he says, I want to be reimbursed if the property gets seized. So Dina hu da'azo Reuven mishtai Dina ba'adei. So the creditor cannot prevent Reuven from coming to court and arguing with the creditor. He can't throw him out of court and say, you're not a party here. I don't know what that's called. You have no standing in this case. He does have standing. What's his standing? He says, if you're going to seize the field from Shimon, Shimon's going to come to get reimbursed for me. So he has standing in court. So Bochanan is medayik from that Gemara over here in the Kovetz Biurim. He says that implies that you need standing to be there to serve as a defendant, on behalf of the defendant. Why do I need legal standing? But why can't he hire me as attorney? Let Shimon hire Reuven as his attorney. So why does the Gemara need to say he has legal standing in this case because the Shimon will have recourse against me? Just say that he can hire Reuven as his attorney if he wants Reuven to be there. So it says Reb Chanan, it sounds like from here that the Nitva cannot hire an attorney. A Toveya might not be able to be in Bezin. He can hire an attorney. But the Nitva cannot hire an attorney because he should always be able to be there. And the Gemara seems to imply it's only when you have legal standing that you'll have recourse against me. I'm a party to this case, so then you're allowed to be there. But otherwise, the Nitva cannot hire an attorney.
What's the difference between inherently having a standing in the case and artificially being brought in?
No. An attorney has no... Reuven, you might come to reclaim your money from me.
Yeah,
Gemara says he's a Valdover. He's a litigant in the case.
And a lawyer does not have
that. No. Right. So the Gemara says, so Reb Chanan asks, you want to get the guy in the courtroom, hire him as an attorney. So you can't.
It seems like a very...
That's not the same legal thing.
Yeah, it is a blanket. Yeah, it's not fair.
Conditions don't apply, or they apply in the reverse in a particular case.
Yeah,
creating a
it's just counterintuitive from our upbringing. It's counterintuitive, but this is the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch. Over here, Simen Kuchav Dalet Sifal Chayshem Mishpat Hanitva Eino Yochal Limnos Murshah Sheyavel Lebezdin. The Nitva, the defendant is not allowed to appoint an attorney to assign power of attorney to somebody else. V'yoshu Be'adu Gotoveya V'hu Yeshu Be'beisod. You're not allowed to do that. You have to appear in court yourself because it's in your your venue. It's in nearby, in your proximity. Therefore, you have to show up in court. You can't assign an attorney. The Toveya, who doesn't, won't necessarily be able to make it, he can. So the Shach, though, was already aware that this was common practice, both for the Toveya and the Nitva, to have an attorney. And even the Shach says, even the Toveya is only allowed to appoint an attorney if he can't be there. It's somewhere else. If he lives nearby and he's sitting in court, then you can't have an attorney present your case. You have to do it yourself. It's only, as Tosas told us, in order to retrieve your money, that you can't be there. But if you can be there, you have to be there yourself. So the Shach says, how do we legitimize having an attorney present with his client and presenting his case? There seems to be no basis for that. And we do it regularly on behalf of the Toveya as well as on behalf of the Nitva. So the Shach says we have to revert back to that which we mentioned earlier from the Sma with regards to interpreters, that if both parties agree, it can be allowed. So it's also over here, if both parties agree to be represented by attorneys, so then it can be, and submit their claims on their behalf, it can be allowed, both on behalf of the Toveya and the Nitva. Even the Toveya can only do it if he can't be present. Otherwise, he can't assign it to somebody else. He has to present it on behalf of himself, because in order to make sure he's telling the truth, we want to hear it from him. Shach claims it's only based on the Sma. Now, Aruch HaShulchan says, The Aruch HaShulchan says that was a common practice, was to allow a Mursha on behalf of the Toveh, on behalf of the Nitva, as long as both parties agree.
So if I'm being sued, I'm the Nitva, I can just tell the I don't agree to a Mursha.
You don't. You can. Correct.
Right. So in that case, most cases, we wouldn't get very far without a representation.
Then you're agreeing you don't want to be represented either.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's a risk. A lot of people wouldn't want to take. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's often beneficial. If people, the Dayanim, see that the attorneys are making things worse, they can kick them out. This is all in order to help people present present their arguments. The truth of the matter is, like in an American legal system, sometimes the lawyers do half the work on behalf of the judge. They do all the research and they're bringing the precedents and things. So I heard from one very experienced dayan that he says he loves the tarnim. They help him because they do a lot of the... He says, if you have any anivas, you know, sometimes people bring up things you weren't aware of. So he says that they oftentimes help, but if it turns out that they're sometimes making pilpulim and tumaling too much, so he says he would remove them from the courtroom. Standard practice, I think, is even if you're going to have an attorney present, they ask the Baalei Dinim to present their claims themselves to at least preserve as much as possible the Midvar Sheker Tirkok, that we shouldn't have, that if a person is lying, we should be able to see him submit his claim himself to determine whether he's lying, and the attorneys can step in afterwards to perhaps flesh out the claim. This, though, is always a very delicate balance. The Shulchan Aruch over here charges Dayanim with two very different agendas. Shulchan Aruch says over here, Simin Yudzayin Siftes, that Ra Hadayin Schus Le'echa Mehem, let's say Hadayin sees that one of the litigants could really make a better argument. He pashut cannot connect the dots in order to make his good, his argument. The guy just can't, put together his argument. Maybe he's too emotional or whatever is going on. Or he's just not as smart. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Mishlei, Psach Pichle Ilem, that the Beis Din has an obligation, a duty, to submit claims on behalf of the party. The judge has the responsibility to extract the details from the party and enable him to formulate what is a strong argument, either because he's entitled to that defense or because it's a responsibility the Beis Din has to make sure in the pursuit of justice that everybody presented their best possible case. That's Psach Picha Le'ilem. We should open the mouth of those who are mute. That's one agenda of the Beis Din. But then the Shulchan Aruch cautions that has to be, it's a delicate balance. We have to make sure we're not taking sides and embellishing one person's case at the expense of another. And that's a difficult balance of Beis Din, but they didn't have to operate with. But oftentimes lawyers can either hurt this process or help that process. But that's something that each Beis Din has to weigh. We'll just conclude. I thought it was a fascinating idea that Chassam Sefer has in last week's parasha when the Saras HaDibros, we have the Pasuk Lo Sirtzach, not to murder. So we have the Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton. There's two trups in which the Saras HaDibros could be read in. There's Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton. So usually that's only with regards to the trup, the nikud, the vowelization of the words, the vocalization, the way that the vowels are arranged is usually the same, Tam Elyon, Tam Tachton. However, in the Pasuk of Lo Sirtzach, there's a difference between the Tam Elyon and the Tam Tachton. And one of them, it's a kamatz, Lo Sirtzach, and the other one, it's a pasach, it's Lo Sirtzach. So Sam Seifer quotes from his rabbi from the Baal HaFlor, Pinchas Levi Horowitz, that he suggested that perhaps it's because Baalei Dinim sometimes have to know to be a komatz, to be to close their mouth, because if in the middle of the entire round, sometimes they have to know how to be pasach, how to open their mouth, because if they open their mouth when they should be closing their mouth, meaning they should let the parties present their claims on their own, and they keep their mouth closed, they could sentence someone to death unjustifiably. But sometimes they also have to know, that they have to open their mouth on his behalf in order to help him. Sometimes they have to close their mouth, sometimes they open their mouth. And if they get that wrong, they could sentence person to death, or to perhaps get the verdict in a monetary case wrong as well. So the Chassam Sofer says a delicate balance that the Dayanim have, when to know to use a pasach, when to use a come out, to close their mouth, to open their mouth, in order to preserve this delicate balance. Okay. So